Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Sometimes they ask questions, and you ever heard this question? If you could have dinner with anyone living or dead, who would it be? And people come up with all kinds of, you know, Albert Einstein. Some people say Billy Graham. I think if I had the choice, anyone living or dead, I think I would want to talk with the Apostle Paul. I just want to sit down and I think he probably, I know we consider Billy Graham one of the greatest evangelists, certainly of our generation, and he was. But Paul was the guy that took the gospel all over the known world. And I'd love just to talk to him. I'd like to ask questions to him. But I imagine that Paul would have questions for me. One of the questions would probably be, how did you come to know the Lord? And then the next question would probably be, how's your faith doing, Alan? And I'll show you why I believe that, because we're going to talk about that. That's going to be the subject of this. It's probably going to be a series. How's your faith doing? So our text is Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 1. This is God's Word's translation. I like this better. It says, faith assures us of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. Leave that up there just for a moment. Assures us of the things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. We cannot see God, but how many of you believe He's real? We're convinced of that. And one translation, I'm still trying to find who wrote this. This is, faith is being confident of what we expect, convinced of what we don't see. So let's talk about that. We want to talk about our faith, and the reason we want to talk about our faith, it's because the Bible talks about it a lot, and it has a lot to say. I'm not an expert on it. We're always learning. We're always growing. But let's talk about our faith, because it's important enough where it was mentioned 235 times in the New Testament. Now, if something's mentioned 235 times in the New Testament, that's something you want to pay attention to. And so we're going to find out why it's mentioned so much. But we're going to look at a passage that Paul is writing to the Thessalonians. Paul knew faith was important. And so in 1 Thessalonians, the third chapter, we're going to read 10 verses, which is longer than what I normally go through, but this is good stuff. This is out of the New King James. Therefore, we could no longer endure it. This is Paul talking. We thought it good to be left in Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. That's the first time he mentions it. That no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we were appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation just as it happened. And you know, for this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith. That's the second time. Lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith, that's the third time, and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your fourth time. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Five times. Thessalonian church was the church that Paul founded. Thessalonica. He went there, founded the church. And you have to understand, when Paul goes into an area, there are no Christians there. There are Jewish people there, so he would go to the synagogues. He would start in the synagogues. He would stay in the synagogues for a while, but pretty soon he would tell them that Jesus is the Christ. And a lot of times the Gentiles would get really excited about it, and the Jewish converts would get excited about it, and the Jews would get angry about it. And so he usually would get kicked out of the synagogue. And after being kicked out of the synagogue, then he would begin to minister, and the Gentiles begin to come in. Now, they're not coming in from Presbyterian churches and Methodist churches. They're coming in from idol-worshiping places, where they're worshiping these foreign idols. And man, there was some really nasty stuff that they did with these idols. And so they're coming out of some rough backgrounds. And Paul, when he, as he writes this letter, you begin to really see his heart. In fact, he talked about them turning to God from these idols. So these are people that were worshiping some foreign deity. And Paul goes in and preaches the gospel, and all of a sudden now you have people going, I don't want to worship that foreign deity. I believe in this real God. And so they start leaving these idols, and they start leaving their background, and they're leaving a culture that they were just embroiled in, and now they're coming into a new way of life. And so these churches were really outposts in the middle of all this darkness. Now, they caused a lot. I mean, they reached a lot of people. I know in Ephesus, they think the church in Ephesus was over 100,000 people. And so there were a lot, there were people coming in, but it caused a lot of conflict. And these Thessalonians who were coming to Christ, all of a sudden, you think your friends gave you a hard time when you came to Christ. I mean, they're upset. And if anything goes wrong, oftentimes in the early church, if something would go wrong in a city, let's say a storm would hit the city or there was a famine or a problem, they would always blame the Christians. Because the Christians were the ones who had left the idol of the city and the foreign deity, and they were worshiping this new God, and so they were often getting blamed. And so you think about it. We deal with life. We deal with family stuff. We deal with job stuff. We deal with all kind of health stuff, financial stuff. What if you compounded on that your neighbors didn't just like you, they were actively persecuting you. And sometimes it got violent. I mean, wouldn't you hate to go out of your house and you're looking, of course, this is Texas. Maybe not the same concern. I won't go into why, but there was pressure there. And Paul was writing to this church, and he had founded this church. Now, if you've ever led someone to the Lord, you can get a feel for you want them to do well. You bring them, maybe you bring them to church, and they come to the Lord, and you're so excited. But then you become very protective of them. Like, man, don't you let anybody say anything to them. You know, I know they're coming out of a rough background, but, you know, they've come to the Lord. You might know what I'm talking about. You're concerned. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's somebody. But you're just protective of them. And this is how Paul felt. He had founded it. This is honestly how I feel often. It's almost a parental fear. Not a fear, but a parental sense to it. That as a pastor, I feel a parental sense toward you. You're like, you're not old enough to be my dad. I know it. I get it. But I am old enough to be a lot of y'all's dads and granddads. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about from a spiritual standpoint. And from a spiritual standpoint, it has that feel. And so Paul is writing, and he's writing to them, and it's not like he could pick up the phone and go, hey, how y'all doing? Everybody good? How's it working? He couldn't do it. No text. No letter. I mean, had to send letters. It took a long time to get there. So you can imagine, he's off somewhere else now. He's wondering, how are these people doing? And what he's concerned about is their faith. How is your faith? You know, it's interesting that even though they were going through all these troubles, he wasn't as concerned. Yeah, I know. It's almost like Paul's like, yeah, I know you're going through troubles, but how's your faith? So I want to take a look at that, because how's your faith is a great question. So I'm going to go back. We're going to break down this passage a little bit. Let's read 1 Thessalonians. This is from the Christian Standard Bible. Therefore, when we can no longer stand it, We thought it was better to be left alone in Athens. So Paul and his team were in Athens, and they sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker, in the gospel of Christ to strengthen and encourage you concerning your faith. Here's an interesting note. Paul never calls anybody a good preacher. Not once. He didn't say, "I am sending Timothy, brother can preach up a storm." He never said that. They were more concerned with, are they faithful? Are they a co-worker in the gospel? Are they, he calls them laborers. He calls them fellow soldiers. That's an interesting one. A fellow soldier. He said, I sent you for this purpose, to strengthen and encourage you concerning your faith, so that no one will be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we're appointed to this. Is that it? Yes, it is. So here's some things. There was a purpose to Timothy's visit. It was to strengthen them and encourage them in their faith. So this tells us one thing about faith right now. Faith can get stronger and can be encouraged. Now, you know this. You don't have to have a show of hands, but have you ever been here on a Wednesday night, or maybe some of you are dual archies, you come on Sundays and Wednesdays, but you've left after a service and you've gone, you just leave going, yeah. You feel stronger on the inside. Now, it may not, hopefully it lasts past Tuesday, but you feel stronger. You feel stronger on the inside. I have walked out of services before, or walked out of, we don't do it as much anymore, but they used to do seminars, man. They would last, you know, almost all week. Some of you came from churches years ago that used to do revivals that actually last 4 weeks. Well, listen, you stay in an environment like that for weeks, you go looking for the enemy. You're like, where are you? I'm here. Where are you? And then you recognize sometimes when your faith is not as strong, and you're like, I hope the enemy does not know I'm up today. And what happens is we realize this, that our faith can get stronger or it can get weaker. And so it's an interesting, Paul, he said, I sent Timothy. So he sent Timothy, he said, to strengthen you and encourage you in order that the believers would not be shaken. Now, this is interesting. The word shaken comes from the Greek word that you get where a dog will wag his tail. Well, have you ever had a problem that just you felt like just shook you? And he said, I'm sending Timothy to strengthen you and encourage you in your faith so that you're not shaken. Which tells us that faith doesn't mean I'm going to stop every problem from coming, but it does mean my ability to handle the problems is better than it used to be. Now, some of you who've walked with the Lord for a while, how many of you would honestly say, I handle life better now than I used to handle life? That's one of the huge advantages. I've had people, yeah, that's worth clapping, isn't it? That's good news. Does it mean you don't still have problems? But I have faced problems and thought, man, I'm glad I didn't deal with this a few years ago, because I handled it better this time. And sometimes I'll come out of a problem going, handle that. And it's not an arrogance, it's a gratefulness, because I've gotten stronger on the inside. Yeah. Oh, this is something I think is so important. You know, we tell one of our things is that you live for God, that you grow stronger. Stronger in your faith. Because when you get stronger in your faith, you handle things better than you used to handle them. Yeah. Trying to think about something that really dealt with love, and I know y'all don't hear that, so I'm going to go. Paul refers to that being shaken, refers to being, now here we go, moved in the mind. I'm still convinced more and more. And I'm someone who has dealt with depression. So I can talk from someone who's been there. And if you've been there, it gives you a little bit of a different credibility. Someone who has been depressed, I can tell you that as you get stronger in your faith, you're able to kick depression to the door. You can kick it to the curb. And when you're not, what happens is it will just absolutely dominate you. When Joy and I were first married, I was in Bible school. And we were in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And in the summer off between my first and second year, we had had a surprise coming. That was Matthew. Matthew was not planned. Matthew was a what? In fact, I was looking for, it wasn't a whoops, it was a what, because we were taking precautions. I mean, we took serious precautions. He came anyway. And we're glad. It worked out. In fact, I looked for a name. I kept thinking. In fact, I remember after Joy told me, but she showed me a little pregnancy test. I went for a walk. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I was not planning on this. I said, what's a good name that means surprise gift of God? Couldn't find one that meant surprise gift. So I found Matthew means gift of God. And he was a gift. And so. Just take it, son. It could get worse. But I remember that was a very difficult summer. I was selling insurance door to door, and that's a tough job. And I wasn't doing well at it. And I just remember that the depression and the pressure. In fact, that time I was sleeping so much. Joyce said, something's wrong with you. We need to take you to the doctor. I was sleeping so much that I went to see the doctor. They thought something was wrong. The doctor just talked to me. He said, you're depressed. And I went, no, I'm not. I'm a Bible school student. I can't be depressed. But I was. And the pressure and the stuff had caused me to be, and I was shaken. And so I recognize depression. I recognize when it comes, and I've dealt with it before. And I also recognize that you say, well, do you ever get depressed now? No, but I pass up good opportunities. Did you hear that? See, I think sometimes some of you think Alan is at the place, he enjoy at the place where he just kind of cruises through life and, you know, nothing. Tony, who our musical director, has a music thing that he plays sometimes when I walk past his office. And it kind of goes, ah. Kind of like an angelic choir. Good for Tony, helps him keep his job. But but some of you think I don't deal with stuff. Some of you think I never have a bad day or never have the opportunity to have a bad day. But here's the thing. I still deal with opportunities to be upset, opportunities to be depressed, opportunities to have a bad day. What's happened is I've gotten stronger on the inside. My ability to resist that and kick that to the curb has become heightened. Does that make sense? You say, well, hey, dude, you're over 65. That it's maturity. Are you kidding? Are you seriously? I won't ask for a show of hands, but some old people get mean. And they live perpetually grumpy. But it doesn't have to be that way. And so Paul is writing and he's saying, hey, I'm sending Timothy to strengthen you and encourage you in your faith. So that tells me my faith can get stronger. So how does our faith get stronger? Now, here's a good note. Just you jot this down. Faith is not fixed. I hear some people say, well, I just don't have any faith. Well, you can get some. But here's the deal. If you've been born again, you got faith. Because you already accomplished the biggest miracle that you will ever have in your life, where your whole spirit has been recreated. And just because you can't feel it doesn't mean it wasn't a miracle. And so we're all saved by grace through faith. You were convinced of something that you couldn't see, and you acted on that. So faith is not fixed, but it does have to be fed and developed. Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 17, says, how do I feed? That's a phrase we don't hear much anymore, feed your faith. Ever heard that term, feed your faith and starve your doubts? It's not a verse, but it's a good idea. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, really what you're doing in here tonight, if you're still with me, is you're feeding your faith. When you listen to messages, you're feeding your faith. When you read your Bible, you're not accomplishing a duty. You're not making brownie points with God. You're feeding your faith. You're getting, if you tell the Lord, look, Lord, I read my Bible today, He'll go, good, that's helped you. It didn't do anything for Him, it helped you. And you're feeding your faith. When you speak scriptures and meditate on scriptures, you're feeding your faith. You're not wasting time. You're feeding your faith. Now, I grew up Southern Baptist. Southern Baptist background? There's a lot of you. Hey, and you're not all in the back row. That is really good to see. That's wonderful. I grew up Southern Baptist, and growing up Southern Baptist, one of the things that I heard a lot was faith for salvation. I knew, because I heard it for years, I knew that any time I called on the Lord and asked Him to be the Lord and Savior of my life, I would be changed. I would be born again. I had faith for that. And so when I was walking across a field in Carbondale, Illinois on June 6th of 1978, I just, eyes open, no music playing, I just prayed. I said, Jesus, I've run from You. I'm tired of running. I make You the Lord and Savior of my life. I was born again, walking across a grass field. But I never once doubted it would happen because I had heard that a lot. I had heard faith. Now, when it came to being baptized in the Holy Spirit, I hadn't heard that as much, so I had to get faith in that area. So the deal is this. What you hear a lot of, you have faith for. What you don't hear a lot of, you don't have faith for. And so as you feed it, it gets stronger. And so, boy, that helped me so much. Is that my faith grew up. So you think about it. Faith to resist the attacks that come against your mind when you begin to hear that anyone is born of God is overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That means if you overcome the world, that means you overcome all the junk and the nastiness and the darkness that's in the world. And so when you find out that no longer are you under the authority, when you come to the Lord, He said, we have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Actually, the word is Colossians. We've been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You begin to read that, you begin to hear that, and then when things begin to come your way, you all of a sudden you stop to catch yourself. You go, wait a minute, hang on. I don't have to take this. I don't have to take the negative thoughts. I don't have to take those feelings of oppression and depression. I can resist it. But you've got to hear that to have faith for that. A lot of times I realize when I'm talking to you guys, Wednesday night, I know you love me. I love you. And I know a lot of times when I'm talking, I don't feel you necessarily putting the brakes on, but I can, it's like you're looking at me like, What? And maybe it's because of how you've grown up. Maybe it's because of what you've heard all your life. And so as we're learning, as you're here, I'm glad you're here. Because when you're here, you begin to hear some different things. And when you begin to hear some different things, then the things that used to plague you don't have to plague you as much anymore. Because what's happening is I am helping you, and thank God the Lord is helping you, strengthen and encourage you in your faith. And when you find out, you don't have to be afraid of the lady in your apartment complex who says she's a witch and is going to put a curse on you. Now, you're laughing, but people have come to me with that kind of stuff. But when you find out that you're not under the enemy's authority, you're like, bring it. But you better make it fit. Because I'm rubber and you're glue, and everything you curse bounces off of me and sticks to you. But if you don't know that, people are fearful. And it's real. And so I have no way criticizing people if you don't know. See, if you don't know that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. And when someone says, well, you have an addiction problem, it'll be that way all your life, you'll accept it. But when you know what the Bible says about what God has done in you, then you can put up some resistance. You ever seen a two-year-old put up resistance? It's in us, guys. We know how to do it. We've suppressed it so we can keep employed, but we know how to do it. You know, a two-year-old, you tell him, I need you to do this, like, no! He'll stare at you and go, no! Not going to do it. Joy gives all the gifts in our family. I pay for them, and she gives all the gifts to all the grandchildren. So the grandchildren all know BB gives the gifts. And so they have to, I'm Pop, she's BB. And she tells our grandkids, look, I told Joy, I said, Joy, can you at least let me be a part of when you do it? Because they come in, they're like, I said to one of my grandkids when they were little, I said, now Pop gave you that gift. And she looked at me, she said, no, BB's gift. And I went, wait till you outgrow the toy stage and you need money. Then you're going to know Pop's the man. But there are things that you can do to feed your faith and get stronger. If Paul could send Timothy to the Thessalonian church and he would strengthen and encourage their faith, then your faith can be strengthened and encouraged. And so when you hear messages, and listen, you can hear, we make them free. You can hear messages. You can go back and hear them again. Like I said, repetition is good. Repetition will help you. And it begins to get in you, but you can feed your faith. It's not fixed. Now, Paul was relieved. I'll introduce this, and then we'll go to it last night. 1 Thessalonians 5. Listen to Paul's heart. For this reason, he said, well, I can no longer stand it. Paul just had a heart. How are these people doing? I also sent him to find out about your faith, fearing that the tempter had tempted you and that our labor might be for nothing. But now Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news about your faith and love. He said, I wanted to hear that you're in faith, lest the tempter would tempt you. What does the enemy try to do? He'll always try to move you off of what you believe. There's so many people right now, they're out of church. And they think, it's too late. I'm too far gone. And they're not. But what's happened is the enemy has moved them off their faith. And so they got out of church and they fell. Maybe they made mistakes and they feel so condemned. And then there's like, well, I just, you know, this isn't working. And that's what Paul's talking about. Oh, that breaks my heart. When I hear that, I was like, oh, man. And if you know anybody like that, reach out. Invite them back. Tell them God's not mad at them. Tell them he'll give them a second, third, and fourth, and fifth, and sixth, amen, seventh chance. He's good. Amen. Be real merciful. But Paul, he said, man, I was so concerned. Here's this young church. They're an island of faith in the middle of all this darkness. He said, I was so concerned that the tempter had tempted you, what, and that they would abandon their faith. You hear people talk about, what is it, the use of phrase, what is it, Matt? Something they do with their faith. It's a big thing that they YouTube it.
They all deconstruct.
Deconstruct their faith. Yeah. Anyone who puts up a YouTube clip about deconstructing their faith, just save yourself the time. Because it will not strengthen you, and it will not encourage you. And if it doesn't help me and strengthen my faith, I don't have time for it. I don't have time for stuff. I don't have time to hear stuff from people. Say, yeah, so-and-so, they're famous, and they deconstructed their faith. But that doesn't mean you have to. And they're going to wish they hadn't.
That's right.
Because where are you going to go? It's like Peter one time. Jesus did his famous eat my flesh, drink my blood sermon. Everyone went, whoo, whole bunch of them left. And Jesus looked at his disciples and said, y'all going? He didn't say y'all, but that's what he said. And Peter had a great answer. He said, where are we going to go? He said, you got the words of eternal life. If you deconstruct your faith, where are you going? You're going back out in the world? Yeah, you can drink and party yourself and try to numb down the pain, but on the inside, you're going to know that the really life is found in Christ, it's found in God, and you will not get life that way. I know that. So how do you know you're a preacher? Because I tried it. When I fell away from the Lord, and that's the direction I went, you try to numb down the pain, but you can't party it away. Because the Holy Spirit is there nudging you going, what are you doing? What are you doing? And you've heard me talk about the time when I was just in the car coming back and just begin to, for some reason, sing Amazing Grace. Ugh. He's merciful. God's a whole lot better than people give him credit for. I've lived wild, cussed, ran around, did party at everything, things I'm embarrassed of. And I'm singing Amazing Grace, and he fills that car with his presence because he hasn't given up on you. And all you got to do is make a step. Not feelings, just convinced of what's in your heart that God's not done. Paul was concerned about their faith. It's a good question. We don't ask one another that. We don't go to lunch and go, how's your faith? But it's a good question. And because we realize that that's how we make progress. That's how we get strong. So Paul was writing to that. He sent them and he did this. And I'll talk about this next week. He said, Timothy brought us good news of your faith and love. Don't ignore love. Love is real personal. Love is contrary to our feelings, our pride, and our selfishness. But the Bible talks about it so much. Jesus said it's his commandment. Don't ignore it. We can't ignore love and expect to walk in God's peace and blessings. But we can't ignore faith either. And next week we're going to talk about how in the world could Timothy bring back news of their faith and love. Obviously, it's observable. So next week we'll talk about how is it observable. We'll give you some examples. Would you bow your head for a moment? Please know when leaving, we'll be out of here almost right on time. If you came this evening or you're watching online and maybe you're the one I'm talking to tonight, you've been away from God and you know in your heart you need to come back. Or maybe you've never made him the Lord and Savior of your life and you know it's been just kind of like in you. You can't escape it and you're like, no, I need to do this. This is a great night to do it. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. We're not going to have you stand up. We're not going to have you come to the front, but we're going to pray. But I'm going to ask you to do one thing. If that's you that I'm talking to and you're saying, you know, Alan, would you pray for me? I know I need to come back to the Lord, or I know I need him in my life. Would you pray for me? Would you shoot your hand up just real quick across this auditorium? Thank you. Thank you for your courage. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. His hands have gone up all over. Thank you for that. Thank you for your courage. Anybody else? Great. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. If for some reason you just couldn't lift your hand, you can still pray this prayer. This is a heart prayer. We're going to pray it with you. So church family, if you're watching online, just if you're by yourself, pray it out loud. If you're with others, pray it quietly. But let's pray this prayer. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you. Now, the head still bowed and eyes closed. I got one more prayer. Just bear with me just for a second. Father, I pray for those who have thought that their problem, their addiction, their situation was fixed and they could never get out. And I pray, Lord, that light would come, that faith would begin to rise up in their hearts, and they begin to realize they're not stuck, that things can change. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.